I'd like to welcome everyone here to our Sunday service. My name is Nayaswami Devarshi. I am visiting here from Ananda Village up in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains. We have many Ananda communities all over the world, and we all gather together just like this every Sunday on many continents even. Those readings today are some of the most beautiful from both the Bhagavad Gita and from the Bible. And they really describe the essence and the true nature of ourselves, of this whole creation. And it just boils it down in a way that is very simple, very clear, and it also shows us the way back. The question raised in the reading, did God create the universe or did God become it? And of course, the answer is that God became the universe. And the same tracking our breadcrumb trail back to our home in God, it's just the same. We weren't created separately from God. We came from that. And the goal of all life, really, is to consciously return to our true home, which we never have really left. It's just our own identification has left that home in God. And the essence of this reading is it talks about Om as a vibration. Om, you already have noticed, we chant Om a lot here. And we also say Amen a lot, which is the very same principle, Amen, in the other scriptures. And so the Hindu scriptures, Yogananda, our teachings here, taught that we came from God, and in the beginning was the Word, and that Word vibration emanated from God out into creation. That vibration also is light. You'll hear in the Festival of Light, and many of you have heard it many times, out of the darkness came the sound of creation, out of the silence came the sound of creation, out of the darkness came the light. And so we came from Om, and this Om vibration is carrying us out further and further separate from God if we choose to, or we can catch that flow back towards God. Yogananda described it as a flow, Om coming out of creation. And really, in a way, our only choice, and really the most main and important choice that we have in life, is whether we choose to go in the flow in one direction or the other direction. Anytime we think of God, meditate, tune into the light, serve others, love, we are tuning into that flow that's carrying us back to the Creator, and really, again, changing our identification from this little self to the infinite self. Every time we think selfishly and think of our little self, we're tuning in and catching that flow, carrying us further out. Yogananda had an analogy and made a really extraordinary statement about this. He said one time that he was watching a movie, it was a movie of a Catholic saint, that he really identified with this saint and the struggles and the triumphs that she had in her life. And then as he was watching the movie, he looked back and realized that there was this beam of light coming from the projection booth. And he said, this whole creation is essentially the same, what I've been describing. It's a beam of light, which is Om, cosmic vibration, coming from the Creator in the grand projection booth. And that all this is just shadow and light. And he made a really extraordinary statement, Paramahansa Yogananda did. And I think our minds pass over this statement because he said a lot of very important but very powerful statements. But he said this one almost lightly. He said that this existence, and this is an exact quote, this existence is no more real than a movie. This existence is no more real than a movie. And the mind balks at that because I think we all know the difference between a movie and reality. And we say, come on, there is a difference. He said it. There is no difference at all between a movie and this existence. There are certain moments in life, if you really watch out for, and sometimes you don't have to watch out for it, God will hit us on the head. And in a way, what God is doing sometimes is that we're caught up in this movie of this life. And just like when you're watching a movie, and it seems so real, and you know, there's a battle or something in the movie theater, and you're watching this gigantic screen, and the big gigantic speakers are rumbling with sound, and it seems so real. And then there's a glitch in the projector, and it starts to break up a little bit. And you realize, oh, wait a minute, this is just a movie, it's not real. If you watch closely, you'll see that this so-called reality, just like a movie, every once in a while starts to break up. And if you take those moments and look around and ask, okay, where's the projection booth here, and start to look for it, and I think God reminds us in those ways, and two ways that he does that I've noticed in my life, and there's many more, but two that are the most obvious, and those are at birth, when a child is being born, and at death, when a child leaves this earth. And those who have been at either one, they will say it's miraculous, and there's a miraculous feeling. But at that moment, when you see a soul coming into this world, and you think, well, where did this soul come from? Wait a minute. There's a big catch here. Something's not exactly straightforward. When you see the miracle, and it is a miracle, when a soul leaves the body and becomes free, it's just as miraculous. There are also other times in life, I have a few of them. For some reason, I have many of them in my life, which is when you have a near-death experience. And I'm going to read one, actually. I won't read it. Maybe I will read it. This is from Asha's brand new book, Loved and Protected, Stories of Miracles and Answered Prayers. And it's available in the boutique. And it's an extraordinary book because it's many short stories of miracles, protection, of really glimpses where the screen breaks up a little bit and you see through the screen and you see a glimpse of God. And probably like most people, when they look at a group picture, they always look to see where they are first, just make sure they don't look really goofy. Am I the only one who does that? No? So I looked, when I saw this book last night for the first time, I looked for my story, which is the third one in there, by the way. And I think I'll just tell the story, but you can read it in here also. But get this book. It's really extraordinary, actually. And as the story is told in there, it was very shortly after I got on the spiritual path. I was in Southern California, and it was just after I got on this path. I had just been practicing some of the practices and tuned into Yogananda just weeks or a few months beforehand. And I was swimming in the ocean, and I was a corn-fed Midwestern boy who knew nothing about the ocean and ignored the signs that said dangerous currents and riptides, and I didn't know what that stuff was, so I just blithely went out into the ocean for about the third time in my life. And sure enough, there was this thing called a riptide, which now I know what a riptide is. I didn't know at that time. And this intense current pulled me out relentlessly and just intensely. And I fought against it, which is not exactly what you're supposed to do, but I was ignorant and foolish both. And it kept carrying me further and further out, away from the shore. And as hard as I fought, the further it took me out, and the stronger the current came. And finally, it was just crashing waves all over me. And finally, after about 5-10 minutes of that, I was completely spent. I literally had not an ounce of energy left, and the waves were crashing. And I literally turned on my back, belly up, and just like fish when they die, I was ready to die. I knew I was going to die at that moment. And oddly enough, there was no fear. Here I was on the ocean, beautiful blue sky, horizon, most beautiful day in the world. And it was just a beautiful day and a beautiful way to leave the body, and I was absolutely convinced. And I had no thought except to offer myself into the ocean of spirit as I lay on my back. And there was such extraordinary freedom in that moment, and also actually extraordinary bliss. I thought, well, if this is dying, then this is really, really great. Because the bliss was truly overwhelming, and no fear, no nothing. And after some moments of that and just enjoying it, somehow I found myself in very calm water, and realized almost, I didn't quite say, darn, I'm going to survive this thing. But I was able to sort of make my way back to shore. But it was just one of those moments that God gives us where the image breaks up and God says, for one, this really is a movie. and who do you think is in charge of this movie? Do you really think you are? Since then, I just have a very strange karma that some of you know, where I've been hit by lightning twice in succession not long after that, and I had to get airlifted off of Mount Shasta after a rock came flying down and hit me, and I barely survived that. And last time I stepped in quicksand in Rishikesh, of all places, in the Ganges, and just God seems to play with me a lot. And if we look at those moments in our life, you can see that this really is a movie. If you look back, when we're in the middle of it, it's hard to see. When we're suffering, when we're caught up in attachment and desire, it's hard to see it's a movie. And the reason is because we are catching ourselves or identifying ourselves with the movie and with our separateness from God. And we're tuning into that flow of the light and the sound and the vibration that's taking us further and further into separateness. When we identify, as the reading that Chidambar read about loving others with God's love, more and more when we do that, we're catching that flow of the own vibration, the vibration of creation, and it is carrying us back into union with God. And in the end, almost, that's almost really the only choice that we have. The movie is going to go on. God's going to surprise us and have fun with us and remind us occasionally that we're not really the directors of the movie. Swami Kriyananda made a great statement one time that I think most people choke on. And Swamiji was the founder of Ananda Village. But he said that people have not even enough free will to choose the color of tie that they're going to put on in the morning. And people balk at that. But he explained that it's karma and part of the movie. And so try to understand that this movie is a divine movie. Yogananda taught that we should just play our role the best we can, to love with God's love. If you're a parent, a spouse, a teacher, whatever role God has given you in this life, play it well. Play it in a divine way. And play it in such a way that you choose divine union and going back towards God. Again, by choosing the light, choosing to love divinely. In a way, all these little things that we do, even just meditation, concentrating at the spiritual eye, are all just ways of hitting the pause button on the DVD player or at the movie theater and looking around for the projection booth and looking for the light. And when we follow that light back, that's union with God. That is yoga. That is union, is following the light back. And it's not that we really are separate, but our ego identification identifies either with separateness or union. And that's really the main choice that we have in life. God also enjoys the humor of this life. More and more when you look out and watch for the divine hand, these lives can be very, very humorous, even through the ups and even the downs. I just, another strange, just one incident from my life. It was many years ago. It was in the late 1970s. And I was living at an Ananda community called Ocean Song. It was on the north coast in Sonoma County. Many of you know Gary McSweeney. He was living there at the time. And Swami Kriyananda was doing a weekend program at Ananda Village. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I was really yearning just to see him. And we had a monastery there at this place called Ocean Song. And I really wanted to go visit him. Nobody else was going, so I didn't have a ride. I didn't have a car. So I caught the Greyhound bus Friday afternoon and took it to the end of the line, which at that time was Auburn, which is still about 30, 40 minutes from Ananda Village. And I arrived at 11 o'clock at night. And I was going to hitchhike the rest of the way, and I decided, well, I don't want to hitchhike at 11 o'clock on a Friday night. You never know what you're going to run into. And so I was left in the Greyhound parking lot, and it was empty, nobody there. So I laid my head on the curb and put a jacket under it and just fell asleep, just like a child being at home anywhere. And then God played a really, really funny joke on me, which is that when I woke up the next morning, the first thing I saw, dawn light, I opened my eyes, there was these two probably 40 or 50 foot tall gigantic statues of these two Indian women naked Indian women, one with a bow and arrow, the other one with something else. And it really is there. It wasn't a vision. I swear it wasn't a vision. And I don't know if those things are still there, but they've been there for many, many years in Auburn. They're just some guy who made these gigantic, kind of weird statues. And I had a very, very good laugh. I think God was having fun with me for putting out the effort to do something good. And was just saying, okay, this is my joy, is in what you're experiencing. Try to see it even in the ups and downs. Many of you knew my wife, Maria, who she passed away a few years ago. And she had a very dramatic movie of a life. Born in Soviet Russia, getting out of the Soviet era, barely, and coming to New York without any money at all, and somehow coming to Ananda Village and living the last 30 years of her life at Ananda. And when she found out that she only had a few weeks to live, it was a prognosis that was kind of irreversible. And it was God was saying, it's time for this movie to end for you. And people think sometimes, especially with a dramatic life like that, that people will do a whole life review and talk about things that they did or regrets, or maybe talk with sentiment about, oh, remember when we did this and that. And her entire life review was 6 words. And it was said with a great, great deal of bemusement and really deep joy. And what she said, what a trippy life it's been. And she just laughed at just the delight of this movie. And that's what happens when we don't identify with the separateness, with our little self. Because when we identify with our separation from God and this little self, then we suffer the ups and downs. And it's duality. For every up, there's going to be a down. But when we identify with the beam, with the light, with God, then it's only one. It's union. And that union helps us to experience really what the Hindu scriptures even define as God, which is true and divine bliss. One of the greatest ways to get there is, as the reading, again, from Chidambar, is to love. When we love others with God's love, then that's probably the greatest and quickest way to catch that flow of Om and to get caught up in that flow back into union with God. There's a beautiful song by Swami Kriyananda, Love is a Magician. In the song that we sing here today, What is Love? Those words actually have a lot of meaning. Really listen to those words. They're light songs. Love is a Magician is not necessarily light, but it's more meaningful and profound. Listen to those songs because there's a really very, very deep truth, which is that the love that we express is not ours. It's divine love. And when we understand that and act as an instrument of that, that's when we start getting into that flow. It's when we start looking at the light coming from the projection booth and start going back into that light and experiencing eventually divine bliss. There's another really beautiful song. It was a popular song. And I'm told the person who wrote the song knew Yogananda, and that much I know is true. And perhaps he wrote the song about Yogananda. And it was a very popular song in the 40s. Made popular by Nat King Cole, and it's called Nature Boy. And you can actually go on YouTube and see a beautiful rendition of it. And apparently that song was actually sung for Yogananda. And some people say that the author was writing about a meeting that he had with Yogananda. And the words, the way it ends, is really very beautiful, which he talks about meeting this child of the universe who travels all over the world, who was very wise for a child. And he ends by saying what this wise child told him. He said, the greatest thing in all the world is just to love and to be loved in return. And I read something about the author later, and he said that he actually wanted to change the words of that song, but it was too late because the song was already out there. But he wanted to get rid of the in return part because he said what he really meant to say was it wasn't just sort of a tit for tat, well, I'll love God if God will love me. He basically said that the greatest thing in all the world is just to be one with that divine love, to love others with that divine love, to be an instrument for that divine love. And when we practice that, then we feel that love coming back to us. And it's really when we give that love, that not out of a sense of I'm doing this because I want to feel it and receive it, But that's just the natural byproduct of it. Because when we love others with that divine love, one, we see this life as an enjoyable dream. We experience the divine bliss behind it. Swami Kriyananda has said that love is the first manifestation of divine bliss, and it helps us to experience that bliss. But also, it helps us to tune back in to that flow of Om, carrying us back to our true home. And again, really, the only difference is our identification, whether we identify with our separateness and my role in the movie, which is really important because I'm standing up here right now and talking, or whether we just identify with the Spirit of God, the director. We ask the director, okay, what do you want me to do today, sir? I'm just an actor here. I'll do my lines as best as I can, and I will serve you the best I can, and I will act as your instruments the best that I can. And when we spend our lives like that, then our lives are full of joy, even amidst the ups and downs. We experience the humor, the joy. God has a very wry sense of humor sometimes. But if we are always looking out for the director, for the projection booth, more and more as we look for it, just looking for something changes our identification. So our part is just to start and to always continue looking for the light, for that wave coming from God. And over time, as we do that through a lifetime, more and more we will merge back into that Om vibration and merge back into our true home, which is divine bliss. So God bless you all.